The focus of this perek is the making and baking of the shteh lechem, the two loaves of bread which are brought on Shavuos, as well as the lechem aponim, the 12 loaves of bread in total which are placed on the shulchan each Shabbos. And they're left there for a week until the following Shabbos. There was a miracle that the bread remained fresh for an entire week, and on Shabbos it was given out to the Kohanim and replaced by a new set of 12 loaves of bread, and the Mishnayos are going to go into the details of how they were set up on the Shulchan as well. The Shulchan was the stacked table which was situated in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Beforehand, however, the Mishnah goes back to that which was stated earlier on in the Perek, that there are a number of services involved in the Lechem Aponim and the Shteh Lechem, which do not need to be performed inside the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. For example, the early stages of kneading the dough, that can be done outside. And the Mishnah says, Kol Menachos Yesh Bo Ma'aseh Kli Bifnim, for all Menachos, we're saying a general rule for any offering of flour or flour which will be baked, although the main ramification of this rule will be regarding the Shteh Lechem and Lechem Aponim. So the Mishnah says, any process which is needed for the Menachos, which is done inside the courtyard, needs to be done inside a utensil designated for the service of the Beis HaMikdash, a kli shoreis, v'ein b'hem ma'aseh kli b'chutz, whereas there is no necessity, there is no requirement of using a special kli shoreis, a utensil designated for the service, for those parts of the procedure which can be done outside of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the first part of the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah asks, Ketzad, how so? Or what is the explanation? And this question is really going back on that which was stated in the beginning of the Perek, but the Mishnah didn't go into very much detail, but the Mishnah told us that the Lechem Aponim and Shteh Lechem are placed in molds, and they are baked like that. And the Mishnah over here is asking, how exactly were they baked? What was the process of baking the Shteh Lechem and the Lechem Aponim? Shteh Lechem, the Mishnah begins with the two loaves of bread brought on Shavuos, Arkon Shiva. The length of these loaves was 7 tefachim. A tefach is the size of one's fist, the length of an adult's fist. So the length of these loaves was 7 tefachim, v'roch ben arba'a, and they were 4 tefachim wide. As well as that, at the top of these loaves, there was an addition that v'karinu sehen, their corners, on each of the top corners, the loaf of bread went up slightly, and they had these corners, arba etzba'os. These were 4 finger breadths tall. At the corners at the top, the loaf of bread went higher up by 4 finger breadths more than the rest of the loaf. Lechem aponim, the 12 loaves of bread which were placed on the shulchan each Shabbos, orkoy asara, the length of each one of those loaves was 10 tefachim, v'roch b'chamisha, and its width was 5 tefachim. The karnosav and its corners at the top, shevites bais, were 7 finger breadths tall. Rabbi Huda says, Shalei tite, in order that you don't make a mistake and you're able to remember these sizes, I'm going to give you a mnemonic, Zdad, Zamed, Zayin, Dalad, Dalad. That's an acronym for the measurements of the Shteh Lechem. The numerical value of Zayin is 7, 7 tefachim long. And the numerical value of Dalad, and Dalad is 4, corresponding to the width and the size of the corners. And Yehaz, Yud, He, Zayin, that is an acronym to remember the measurements of the Lechem Aponim. The numerical value of Yud is 10, it was a length of 10. The width was He, 5. And the height of the corners was the numerical value of Zayin, which is 7 tefachim. 7 etzbois, excuse me. Finger breadths, the width of one's finger. All right, Ben Zoymer says, what is the source for shaping the loaves of bread in this way? Because the Torah says, "V'nasata la shulchan, you shall place on the shulchan, on the stacked table, lechem ponim lefonai tomid, the lechem aponim in front of me always." Now, what exactly is this word lechem aponim? Lechem means bread, and ponim literally means a face. We learn from here, shehelo ponim, it should be as if the loaf has a face. Meaning when the corners go upwards, we look at it sort of as if the two sides of the loaves are facing each other. They're facing towards each other. It's not just a flat loaf without anything on either side of it. So we see from there that the sides, the corners, should go slightly further up so that we can look at it as if the different sides of the loaf of bread are looking at each other. In addition to this, ponim also comes from the word panim or pino, which means a corner, so that would be the source that there is a requirement for the bread to have corners at the top. Mishnah Hey Ashulchan, the stacked table which was situated in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Orkoi Asara Rochbe Chamisha, its length was 10 tfachim and its width was 5 tfachim. The Torah says that its length is 2 amos and its width is 1 amma. And although in general 1 amma is considered to be equivalent to 6 tfachim, when talking about the Beis HaMikdash and anything associated with the Beis HaMikdash, there is a slightly different measuring system, and regarding those things, 1 amma is equivalent to 5 tfachim. So if the Torah says that the Shulchan is supposed to be 2 amas long and 1 amma wide, that is equivalent to 10 tfachim long and 5 tfachim wide. Likewise, Lechem Aponim, the 12 loaves of bread which were each placed on the Shulchan, also Orkei Asar V'Rochbei V'Chamisha, they were 10 tfachim long and 5 tfachim wide, each of those loaves. And essentially they were stacked up in two piles of 6 loaves, one on top of the other, as we're going to see in further detail in the next Mishnah. But for now, the Mishnah says that Nesin Orkei K'neged Rochbei Shel Shulchan, they would set up the loaves of bread with the length side, the longer side of the piece of bread, of the loaf of bread, along the width, the shorter side of the Shulchan. So that means that you have a 10 tfachim long loaf of bread placed over an area which is just 5 tfachim long. And so the ends of the loaves would protrude outwards over the sides of the Shulchan, and therefore, in order that not be the case, when they originally bake these pieces of bread, they would fold over 2.5 tfachim on each side of the loaf upwards, so that when they placed it on the Shulchan, it wouldn't protrude outwards of the Shulchan, rather it would remain within the confines of the Shulchan itself. Nimtzoi emerged, Orkei Memalei Kol Rochbei Shel Shulchan, the length of each loaf filled up the full width of the Shulchan. Rabbi Yehuda, that is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, however, Rabbi Meir says, the details are slightly different. HaShulchan Orkei Shneimasar, the Shulchan had a length of 12 tefachim, v'rochbei shisha, and a width of 6 tefachim. However, he agrees that Lechem Aponim, the loaves of bread which were placed on the Shulchan, Orkei Asar v'rochbei chamisha, they had a length of 10 tefachim and a width of 5 tefachim. So that's difference number one between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, the size and the measurements of the Shulchan. They also differ as to how to set up the loaves of bread on the Shulchan, as we're about to see. Nesin Orkei K'neged Rochbei Shel Shulchan, you would place the length of the loaf of bread, each one of the loaves of bread, along the width of the Shulchan. So far, Rabbi Meir is the same as Rabbi Yehuda. V'koifel tifchai mikan v'tifchai mikan, and they would fold over the outer two tefachim on each side of the loaves. They would fold that over upwards when they originally bake the bread, so that it doesn't protrude outwards beyond the Shulchan. Since the Shulchan was wider, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it was 6 tefachim, not just 5 tefachim, so they would need to fold over the loaves of bread less. But an additional difference emerges from the first difference, really, and that is, v'tifchayim revach bo'emtza, there would be 2 tefachim gap. There will be 2 tefachim of space in between the 2 stacks of 6 loaves each. Because if you think about it, according to the calculation, the width, the length of the Shulchan, according to Meir, is 12 tefachim. Now the width of each loaf was 5 tefachim. So if you put 5 tefachim next to another 5 tefachim, you have 10 tefachim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that fills out the entire space of the length of the Shulchan. The width of the bread of the loaves was went along the length of the Shulchan, and the length of the loaves went along the width of the Shulchan. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, there would be no space at all between the 2 stacks of loaves, because they were each 5 tefachim wide, so 5 tefachim wide next to another 5 tefachim makes up the full length of 10 tefachim of the Shulchan. However, according to Rabbi Meir, for the length of the Shulchan was 12 tefachim, you have a remaining 2 tefachim. And that gap was in the middle, in between the 2 stacks of loaves, Kadesh Teil Ruach and Hashemes Beinein, so that the wind and air would blow in between them and it would keep the loaves fresher. Even though it was a miracle that the loaves remained fresh for an entire week until the following Shabbos, one is not supposed to rely on miracles as much as he can, and therefore it is preferable that they should at least do something in order to keep the bread fresh as possible. Abba Shol says the reason why they had the 2 tefachim gap in the middle was for a different purpose. That is where they place the two spoons of levana, frankincense, which are going to be burnt on the Mizbeach in order to accompany the bringing of the 12 loaves of bread. However, Omru Loi, the Chacham said to Abba Shaul, V'haloik v'hane'emar, surely the Pasuk already said, V'nosato al ha'ma'areches levana zaka, that you shall place the pure frankincense on top of that which is set up, the loaves of bread which are set up in a fixed way. Not in between the loaves of bread which are set up there, but on top of them. Omar Lahen, Abba Shaul said to them, it's true that the word al generally means on top of. However, the Halik V'anemar, surely we have a different pasuk, where the Torah says, V'olov Mati Menashe, and next to it will be the tribe of Menashe. We see that the word al can also mean next to, and therefore it makes sense, it fits still with the pasuk, that the levana is placed next to and in between all of the loaves of bread. Mishnah Vav, this Mishnah describes the way that the shulchan was set up in order for the loaves to be placed on them. We wouldn't just place six loaves on top of each other. There had to be a method to do this in order that the loaves don't place weight on each other. How would they do it? Says the Mishnah, Arbos, Stephen Shalzohov, there were four large boards of gold, Hoyshom, there were there on the edges of the shulchan, and these were along the length of the shulchan. Each board which stood up vertically would take up slightly less than half of the length of the shulchan, and there will be a little gap in between the one next to it and that one. And opposite, on the other side of the shulchan, along the length of the shulchan, there would also be another two beams going vertically upwards, each one having a width of slightly less than half of the length of the shulchan. And these would rise much higher up than the shulchan itself, the surface of the shulchan. Mufutzolin miroshehen, there were little pieces protruding out of these beams on the inside. On the inside of these beams, there would be little pieces coming out of the beams, shohu soimchin bohen, that they would rest on these pieces which came out of the vertical beams. They would rest rods on top of these, and the rods would go from one side of the shulchan to the other, and these rods would be able to support the loaves of bread. And the Mishnah explains, shnayim l'seder zeh, there were two of these golden vertical beams for this set of six loaves, one opposite the other, shnayim l'seder zeh, and there were two vertical beams opposite each other for the other set of six loaves. The esrim shmoina konim, and in total there were 28 reeds which were used, and each reed was actually kachatzi kone cholol. It was half a reed, it was cut in half and hollow. And 14, half of these rods were used for this set of six loaves, and the other 14 rods were used for the other six loaves of bread. And they would arrange, they would set up those rods, supporting them on these small pieces which came out of the vertical beams, and that is how the 12 loaves of the Lechem HaPonim were set up. Adds the Mishnah, Loi Sidur HaKonim, the arranging, the setting up of these rods from one side of the Shulchan to the other, Vloniti Loson, and also the taking away of the rods, removing them from the Shulchan, Deiches HaShabbos, neither of those override Shabbos. Elo, rather, Nichnas Erev Shabbos, somebody would enter into the building of the Beis HaMikdash on Friday, V'shoimton, and he would remove the rods which were there supporting the loaves of bread which had been there since the previous Shabbos. And now the loaves would be stacked one on top of the other, and since it would only be like this for a day, there was no concern of the loaves being ruined or anything. So take these rods off, V'neislan al-Orkashal Shulchan, and place them along the length of the Shulchan, which we're going to understand to mean in the small gap, which according to Rabbi Meir, at least, exists in between the two sets of six loaves. He would place all of the rods in a pile in that gap in between along the length of the shulchan. And similarly, on Shabbos itself, the Mishnah told us that they would not set up the rods together with the placing of the bread on the shulchan. Rather, on Sunday, after Shabbos, they would go into the building of the Beis HaMikdash and place the rods in between the loaves in order to support them so that they don't rest their full weight on the lower loaves. And the Mishnah ends off, Kol HaKedim Shoy HaMikdash, all of the utensils which were fixed in the Beis HaMikdash, Orkoy Le'orkoy Shel Bayis, their length went along the length of the Beis HaMikdash. It was facing in the same direction, the longer side of the Shulchan, for example, was in the same direction as the longer side of the Beis HaMikdash. The exception to this is the Aron HaKodesh, which was in the innermost part of the Beis HaMikdash by itself. And that was in a different direction. Mishnah Zayin, Shnei Shulchanos Ba'ul Olam. There were two Shulchanos, two of these stacked tables, in the Ulam. The Ulam is an area directly outside of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, in between the courtyard and the actual building. The vast majority of the space of the Beis HaMikdash was taken up by the courtyard. And then you could go into a sort of room, which was a entranceway into entering the building of the Beis HaMikdash itself, which is called the Heichal. So this antechamber, the entranceway before entering into the Heichal, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, over there, mibifnim, inside the Ulam, al Pesach HaBayis, by the entrance of the building, the Heichal, there were two stacked tables, in addition to the main Shulchan, the main stacked table, which was situated, of course, in the Heichal itself. Echad shel shayesh ve'echad shel zahav, one of these stacked tables in the Ulam was made of marble, and one of them was made of gold. Al shel shayesh nosim lechem ponim b'chnisasai, they would place the 12 loaves of bread on the marble Shulchan when entering into the Heichal, before taking the loaves of bread directly into the Heichal. They would first place them down on this Shulchan, temporarily, after they had been baked, and then once they had cooled down, then they would be taken into the Heichal and placed on the Shulchan over there. And they would place the 12 loaves of bread on the golden Shulchan when they took the loaves of bread out of the Heichal a week later on Shabbos. They would place the loaves on there, and meanwhile they would burn the Levona, the frankincense, they would burn that on the Mizbeach, and then they would give out the loaves of bread. Now, why is it that the golden Shulchan was used at the end when bringing the loaves out, whereas the marble one was used at the beginning? Says the Mishnah, because of a rule, Shemalim Bakodesh Vlo Meridin, one is supposed to increase the holiness instead of bringing it down. One should use the more beautiful, the more special and unique golden Shulchan in order to increase what you are using, the significance of it, instead of doing the opposite. And of course, for Echad Shel Zahav Mivnim, there was one main Shulchan of gold inside the Heichal, Sha'olav Lechem Aponim Tamid, that the Lechem Aponim, the 12 loaves of bread, was situated on that Shulchan constantly. The Torah explicitly requires that constantly, there will be 12 loaves on the Shulchan. And because of that, at least according to the first opinion in the Mishnah, as we're going to see, there couldn't even be one moment that the loaves were not on there. And therefore, on Shabbos, when they came to replacing the old loaves with new ones, they would do it in the following way. Arba'a Kohanim Nichnasim, four Kohanim would enter into the Heichal. Shnayim Biyodom Shnei Sedarim, two of them held the two sets of six loaves each. So each Kohen would be holding six loaves. Or Shnayim Biyodom Shnei Bozichim, and two of the Kohanim would have two spoonfuls of Levona in their hands. In addition to that, four other Kohanim go into the Heichal before them, and their job is Shnayim Litol Shnei Sedarim, two of those Kohanim to remove the two sets of six loaves which are already on the Shulchan, Shnayim Litol Shnei Vazichim, and two of them to take the two spoons of Levona and remove them from the Shulchan. So we've now got eight Kohanim in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Hamachnisim Oimdim Atzofein, the ones bringing the new Lechem upon him stand in the north side of the Shulchan. Ufneim Adorim, facing the south. The north is considered to be a holier place, a holier direction in the Beis HaMikdash. So those who are bringing in the new Lechem upon him get that significance. Hamitziim, the ones who are taking out the Lechem upon him, removing them from the Shulchan, Oimdim Atzofein, they would stand on the south side of the Shulchan. And they would face the north side. Elu Moishchen, these two Kohanim who are removing the Lechem Aponim would pull the loaves of bread. And as they're removing it, at the same time, Elu Manichim, the other two Kohanim, bring in those loaves of bread and place them on the Shulchan. V'tifchei shel zeh k'neged tifchei shel zeh. And a tefach of this one was corresponding to a tefach of this one, meaning there was never even the length of a tefach, the size of a fist, which was left empty, because for every tefach that they would move one along, they would replace it, they would move the new loaves along. And all of this was necessary because the Torah says, Shne'emar, as the Pasuk says, the fonai tomid, the lechem ponim, need to be in front of me always, constantly. However, Rabbi Yosi says, even if these Kohanim take the loaves off, and then afterwards the next group of Kohanim bring the new loaves and place them on the Shulchan, Avzah is a tomid that also is included in the requirement of it being there constantly. Constantly just means that it has to be there every day, but not that every single second, every single moment, there has to be bread on the shulchan. Be as it may, Yotsu, the kohanim who are removing the bread, go out of the heichal, the nosnu ala shulchan shalzov shalba ulam, and they place the loaves of bread on the golden shulchan, which was situated in the ulam, this antechamber, the entrance of the heichal. Meanwhile, Hiktur Habozikin, they burnt the spoons of levaina, frankincense, on the mizbeach, v'achalis mizchalkas la'kohanim, and then the loaves of bread would be given out to the kohanim who are serving in the Beis HaMikdash that week. Chol Yom HaKippurim leis b'Shabbos, if Yom Kippur fell on a Shabbos, and it's therefore forbidden to eat the loaves that day, ha'chalis mizchalkas la'erev, the loaves of bread would be given out that evening on Motzei Yom Kippur. The loaves of bread must be eaten on that same day, or in the night. They cannot be eaten the next day. So in this case, they would all need to be eaten on Motzei Yom Kippur. Chol Yos Erev Shabbos, if Yom Kippur fell on Erev Shabbos on a Friday, then we have a similar issue that the Korban Musaf of that day needs to be eaten before the next morning. So Sarjul Makipurim Nechol Erev, the goat which is brought as part of the Korban Musaf of Yom Kippur, needs to be eaten that evening on Friday night, Shabbos. The problem is, they wouldn't be able to cook it. So the Mishnah says, Habavliim, those Kohanim who came up from Bovel, Oichlim Oisoik Shuchai, they would eat the meat when it was raw. They were a group of people who were able to eat raw meat. Because their minds, their state of being was fit for this. So they would be the ones who would eat it in such a situation where it had to be eaten that night, and yet they weren't able to cook the meat.